How y'all doing? Good, good. It's taken me, he speaks so fast. You know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I speak better Spanish than Scott, but my Spanish is terrible. So I'm going to try and speak slowly and deliberately, and if I go too fast, go like this. Or just shout despacio at me, because that's what I say to you. Despacio, despacio. So it's taken me 15 years to get here. I don't know what he said. He was going so fast. I grew up in Los Angeles, California, next to a Peruvian family. I was eating anticuchos when I was 4 years old. I was eating ceviche de pulpo when I was five. But this is the first time I'm in Peru. And Microsoft has sent me all over the world. So I'm generally happy to be here. Thanks for having me. Thank you, Microsoft. Thank you. Y mi esposa está aquí. Sin, ¿cómo se dice luggage? Sin su equipe. Sin who, baleta. Sure, her luggage is lost somewhere in the world. Yeah, but we're here and we're excited, and you don't come all the way to Lima and not go to Machu Picchu, right? Yeah, so we're excited. So I think it's funny that Scott, oh, please, computer, work. Oh, come on, computer. God, I don't know why that took so long. I think it's funny that Scott said that he was old. Do you remember when he said that? Oh, I've been doing .NET since 2001. I'm old. Scott Hanselman said that. I gave Scott Hanselman his first professional writing opportunity. He was a 23-year-old, and they said, there's this genius kid in Oregon, and you need to have him write a chapter in your book. And I said, okay, great. I've been doing this a long time. I've been working for with Microsoft since 1991. I'm that guy that no one ever noticed until he blue-screened Windows. Right? So, you know, I could talk all day about hilarious Bill Gates stories and Steve Ballmer stories, but I have a mission. Jorge gave me a mission to tell you about, and I'm going to try to do that. You don't know my company. I know Jorge said Internology a couple times. You don't know my company, but you certainly know the software that we build. You're using the software that we build. These are the customers that we can talk about. Most of our work, we can't talk about. It goes without saying we're building holographic experiences at my company. I'm just so excited about the technology that's coming. And yeah, there's such good speakers here. What do I got next? Oh, these are famous people using our software. Jorge really wanted me to talk about American politics today. Can you believe that? So we're going to talk a little bit about American politics in the top left. Let me show you, I think, here's what we're going to talk about today. We do a lot of high-tech software directly for Microsoft and that other company in Cupertino and that awful company in the Silicon Valley. Did that translate? And if you know me, I'm going to do a lot of demos too. So here's a lot what we're going to talk about today. And throughout this conference, we're going to talk about what I call the natural user interface, NUI. What Satya Nadella, the CEO of Microsoft, he calls it more personal computing. That's why I had that crazy title to my keynote. I didn't make that up. He calls it that. We're going to talk about waving at computers, touching computers. We're going to talk about thinking at computers. Imagine a world where your interface to the computer isn't typing, it isn't gesturing, it isn't touching, it's thinking. Jennifer is here, all the way from Michigan. She has a session in this conference, and she's going to demo thinking at computers and having Azure Machine Learning process that data. That's exciting stuff. Okay, let's keep going here. Anybody recognize this? Am I the only one with gray hair in the room? Is there anybody with gray hair here? That's because you Peruvian genes, you age well. Oh, I see you. There's one of my people right there. Does anybody recognize this? I don't expect you to recognize this. This, when I was doing keynote demos, you know, in the late 90s, in the early 2000s for Bill Gates and Steve Ballmer, Bill Gates would always lead his keynotes with this. He'd called it the digital decade speech. In fact, am I being streamed live? God, I hope not. This is a great joke. I was once doing a keynote demo, 5,000 people in the audience, and I'm backstage with Bill Gates, and he said, this is going to be tough. Where's my translator? This is going to be tough to translate. He says to me, Tim, if I have to do the effing digital decade speech one more effing time, I'm going to effing kill myself. But he was talking about this. This is updated. Notice on the y-axis, this is Moore's Law. Sorry, in case you didn't know what this is. Moore's Law. Moore's Law basically said, every 2 years, we can pack twice as many transistors on a circuit board. Notice, this isn't even updated, but notice that Sandy Bridge CPU from Intel. They've packed, is that 10 trillion? That number is so big, I can't even figure it out. I think that's 10 trillion transistors on a CPU. Why is that important? Well, first, let me talk about Moore's Law. Intel didn't even exist when he created this prediction, this uncanny prediction, almost 50, 60 years ago. Moore was just a scientist. He wrote a magazine article, and he was bold, and he predicted this was happening. And guess what? It's still happening. This is one of the most uncanny predictions in the history of technology. Why is that important? This is kind of a graph that takes Moore's Law and inlays, or on top of it, it gives us, in the y-axis, notice calculations per second. Okay? So this is CPUs. You can see that the i7 Intel CPUs are in the top part of the axis. Have you figured it out yet? Our CPUs that we have in our computers right now calculate at the speed of the brain of the mouse. See that? Right here? Look at that. We're close. We're close to having computers calculate at the speed of the human. That doesn't mean they're smarter. That just means computers can calculate as much and as quickly as a human. You all know IBM Watson, right? And he beat someone famous in chess, or the machine beat someone famous in chess. And then we have this game show called Jeopardy. Do they have that in Spanish here? I'm sure they do. It's a famous show. And IBM Watson beat the best Jeopardy player. Right, we're getting into a place in our world where artificial intelligence is going to benefit us immensely. Machine learning on Azure is incredible, and most of these cognitive scientists are free. It's free for you to use as developers. All right, let's get into the good stuff. Oh, this isn't the good stuff. This is the stuff that Jorge wants me to talk about. So you may have heard in the United States, we're electing a new president. Have you heard that?
Yeah.
And one of the most stupid people in the world might win. So I want you, he's not going to win, don't worry. I want you not to focus on los idiotas, don't focus on los estúpidos. Focus on the technology that Microsoft is having us build all around elections, right? This particular application we built for something called the Iowa caucus. We have this very strange tradition in America where we go to one of our states that is the least populated in the world. It has more cows than people in it. And they all go to the high school gym. And the delegate leader of the election on the Republican and Democrat side says, okay, all you who are voting for Hillary Clinton, you go in that corner. And they count them. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I'm not kidding. And all you who are voting for Sanders, you go in that corner. And they count them. And then the delegate gets the application on the cell phone. We had to build this 20 different ways. We have to cover all platforms, right? iOS, Android, Windows, tablets, all form factors. And then they vote. Our vote in Podunk, Iowa, does that translate, Podunk? Our vote in tiny, tiny city Iowa is, you know, Clinton. And they vote. Well, guess what? In some places in Iowa, they don't have computers. They don't own cell phones. So they have to call on the telephone in an IVR system. Our vote is Clinton, right? But guess what? There are some places in Iowa where they don't have telephones either. They just have cows and pigs and corn for hundreds of miles. So it was a little bit complicated. Why am I telling you all this? What is interesting is on the right? Yes, on the right is a web dashboard, built in HTML5, Azure on the back end. And we built this basically for the political party so they could watch what was happening in real time. So they could see how the voting was going on. That is a picture of Iowa and the different districts. Well, you know what the problem was? The problem was that Wolf Blitzer on CNN, do you know that name, Wolf Blitzer? He announced the URLs to these websites live to 250 million people. Guess what Azure did? Scaled. 3 terabytes a second through the API for over an hour. Can you imagine your Azure bill or CNN's Azure bill, right? Right. All right, let me keep going here because I only have 45 minutes to talk to you. This is another ridiculous tradition we have in America where we waste a ton of money for 2 weeks for a party so that the Democrats and the Republicans can decide actually who is going to run on the ticket for president. And we built the voting app for them also in this nice dashboards. And if you think about this process, they've already decided who the winner is. You know, who they're going to put on the ticket. But they have to go through this formality where they vote. And you can see it's a beautifully designed app. You know, all you have to do is, you know, pick. In the last election, it was Obama. Or in this election, it's probably going to be Clinton or that other person I mentioned. Right? And it's very simple. However, these people still have a huge issue. We train them for 6 weeks, these delegates, how to use this app. Basically, just put your finger on it, pick the one, and vote for your state, right? 6 weeks. In the last election, these are the conventions. Guess what happened on election day? You know what happened. What's my username and password? Realize for 6 weeks we were telling these people, your username is the 2-character state you live in. I'm from California, that's CA. And your password is that 2 characters plus the current year we're in. So CA 2060. 6 weeks! Why am I telling you this? We're coming to a world, we are very close to a world where this is your authentication. We're within 6 months of Visa, MasterCard, and American Express using this as an authentication. And I'll demo that here in a minute. Okay, let's keep going. These are fancy dashboards apps we're building for Surface Hub. You're gonna see these if you're interested. You can see these on CNN Peru during the American elections. And, you know, fancy dashboards, got to go fast here. This is what Jorge really wanted me to talk about and show you. Everyone, I'm confident everyone in this, well, maybe not everyone. Most of you have seen this. Most of the world has seen this on TV. This is the broadcast television software that we build for CNN. You may have seen it over the last 3 months. You're going to see it again. God, I hope I'm... Am I being streamed live? Because I want to show you something the world hasn't seen yet and won't see until the convention. I'll show you a feature that, and if CNN knew I was doing this, they'd freak out, right? Because they like to announce this. So why am I telling you this? Oh yeah, Jorge wanted me to show you this. What's interesting about this app is that it runs on Windows. Oh, look at my resolution. Holy cow. I hope this works. We don't have a lot of resolution here. Everyone see that? Hey, El Idiota. Don't panic. No. Don't clap for that. So you're taping. I'm dead. Wow, now I totally lost my train of thought. What was that? Oh, sorry. This runs on a Surface Hub, the big screen, on Windows. Scalability, performance, uptime. Yeah, when we went and built this app for the first election, like a decade ago, we built the first version of this app. This is built in WPF, by the way. It also has a ton of DirectX in it because the mapping has to go so quickly. Like my fingers on Nevada. You know, all this stuff is very, there's just millions of lines in the code in here. Anyways, my story is that we were having trouble keeping this app running. It was crashing. We were exposing problems in the .NET framework, to tell you the truth, right? And as we'd expose them, Microsoft would fix them, and we'd expose them. Anyways, we went to CNN, and we said, well, no big deal. Don't worry. Don't worry, CNN, that 250 million people are watching this live, because we'll just recycle the app at commercial break, right? During commercials, we'll just, you know, reboot Windows, and everything will be fine. Guess what CNN said to us? Go to hell. Forget it. You can't do that. You don't understand that they said to me, during our broadcast, we go for 13 hours straight. John King and Anderson Cooper and Wolf Blitzer, they go 13 hours straight on election day. There aren't commercial breaks. It has to run 24/7, not triple nines, 100%. And guess what? It does. Windows does that, right? We can do that, which is a testament to the platform. Okay, here, I promised you I'd show you something that I'm not supposed to. It's this. I don't even know how to use this app. These people at CNN are so brilliant. I think I do this. Yeah, and if I do this. Yeah, so John King is so brilliant. He does all these what-if scenarios. Here, let me see if it's that. Oh, here it is. Yeah, okay. This is, you don't really care. And this is test data, right? You all understand this isn't real. It's just a demo, just test data, right? I mean, real people, obviously, but it's just test data. So don't freak out that Trump had all those things. Yeah. So I think if I knew how to use the app, I can give him nothing, I think. Zero. No, wait, hang on. I know how to use this. Zero. Okay, clearly I'm not John King. Okay, I'm not John King. I don't know how to use this app. It's so complex. It has a ton of features. And it's just amazing that he can talk about it while he uses it. What CNN is excited about is during the convention, they'll be able to model things in real time as it's happening on the convention floor. So in California, where I'm from, where did they put California? Right here. Oh, look, we have a lot. We're a big state. We have three places. So when California votes, when Florida does their thing, you know, here's different scenarios. They'll be able to do the what-if scenarios live. Like, what if Alabama votes for Clinton? You know, and they model all that stuff. And what's funny about this app is historically, people with gray hair love this stuff. Me, my generation. But now these digital natives, you people, these young people are totally into this stuff and questioning the way our government works, which I love. They're questioning all these weird things we've had for 250 years. Why do we have to listen to the people in Iowa? Why can't we vote ourselves? You know, in America, we don't really even vote, right? A delegate votes on behalf of us. It's not really voting. So these young people are starting to question. I think that's great, and I think that's an awesome part of technology. All right, I got to go a little bit faster here. So let's keep moving. Oh, here's another Azure Scale thing. So I went, I changed my keynote. I was sitting up here while Scott was talking. I've known Scott for like 20 years, right? Look at that. That's Scott. That's Scott when he was like 20 years old. That's me, easily 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, that's that book we wrote together. But that isn't about this. We're talking about this. Oh, we don't have enough resolution here. So the first time we built this app, Wolf Blitzer did the same thing, except we were ready for it. This is before Azure had that elasticity thing, so you had to do a lot of work to get it to scale. So 8 years ago, Wolf Blitzer said, hey, all you people that love CNN and watch us online, now you can follow at home. And you go to this website, and you will be able, if you want to, God knows why you would, but you will be able to go to this website, cnnmagicwall.com, and follow along as the American elections happen. Now, the reason I show you is I'm the one who makes all the wrong predictions. I'm that guy who said the internet won't last. It'll never work. I worked on the first internet server at Microsoft, IIS 4.0. I worked on Windows NT, if you remember Windows NT. Beautiful OS. 65 million lines of code. Did you know that? Windows NT? Guess how much Windows 10 has? I have no idea. A lot. So Wolf Blitzer announced this, and we were ready. We were ready for him. And that scaled, same type of scale numbers. He announced this to the world. Everyone go on your iPads at home and follow us in the broadcast. And we were pumping 3 terabytes a second for this guy, too, almost 4 hours. Yeah, but why I bring up the internet thing because who thought we could do 3D cross-platform in a browser if you're as old as me? Like, I'm that guy who said, HTML is so stupid. That form submit, I am not doing this. I refuse to do it. It's not programming. That was me. I was the one who said, you know, the internet's going to die because the TCP/IP is such a broken protocol and it's disconnected and there's so many router hops. Who would do this? Right? I came from beautiful binary protocols, assembly language and COBOL. That's the world I came from. Right? But little did I know Cisco would make a bad thing worse by inventing that first, 8550 router. That made a bad thing worse. It literally legitimized the internet. You guys are looking at me like you're insane. What are you talking about? Here it is. If I call home on my cell phone, on my iPhone, if I call home to San Diego, California, it basically would take 3 router hops because the cellular and telephone networks are very efficient. But if I went www.internology.com from here, what would happen? 300, 400 router hops? Right, that's that internet thing. You're still looking at me like I'm insane. Anyways, we fixed it under the hood. Who thought we could do this? When I was working on the internet server, you know, IIS 4, I thought, there's no way we could do stuff like this in a browser. Now that there's a fine line between Win32, right, or locally installed apps and the web, I think it's wildly powerful. All right, enough about that. Let's keep pushing. Get to the good demo. All right, what are we talking about now? Oh, we're talking about 3D cameras. So a lot of the work we do is in cognitive science. We do a lot of work for the Microsoft Kinect device and some other 3D cameras, waving at it, speaking to it. And I was that one. I went to an all-boys Catholic high school in Los Angeles. I was the one who, in Calculus 1, said, Mr. McGann, why do we have to learn this? We're never going to use this again, right? That was me. That was me 35 years ago. Well, guess what we do? A ton of trig and calculus. This is all trig and calculus. If you want a program for the HoloLens, it's trig and calculus. You have to have a math background. Yeah, so these are amazing little devices. This is $150 US, this Kinect camera. That is, for what it does, it's freaking amazing. So what does it do? Let me show you. I've created kind of a landmine here. Let me show you. So I love watching Scott Hanselman on stage. Can I get a little light up here? Can you give me a little light? Bring the lights up a little. I love Scott Hanselman because not only is he so funny, but he just risks everything and has five computers up here and a Raspberry Pi and everything's fragile and stuff. So I'm going to do the same thing as Scott and plug in a Kinect device. Now, how about more light up here? Look at my hands and then look at the screen. Hand open, hand closed, fingers. See that skeletal tracking? I can no longer see my screen, but I assume I'm on the top left. There's a depth camera, an infrared camera, right? Now I'm backwards, right? Why do we use an infrared camera? That's how, in my session today and then some other sessions here, Ricardo's doing a session on it, that's how we can look at images and figure out there's a dog in it or a skateboarder or a blue sky or things like that. We're using the depth camera. And we use the depth camera to do facial recognition, to do demographic profiling. So that's what the camera sees. In the US, and it's just a matter of time, before it gets here, we do this type of stuff. This is interactive digital signage. This is nothing more that you'd see in the mall next door. Interactive digital signage. What's unique is top right, that's a transparent HD capable touchscreen. You with me? Transparent HD capable touchscreen. Not that expensive, to tell you the truth. Very inexpensive. It's the cooler that's expensive. The refrigerator is very expensive. But it's the door. And it runs interactive digital signage. And it tries to get millennials, digital natives, to buy Diet Pepsi or to, you know, switch from Coke to Pepsi and things like that. Guess what it does to middle-aged old white guys? Nothing. It ignores me because I'm a non-influenceable demographic. Does this translate? Get off my lawn? That's me. If Beyonce says she's going to switch to Diet Pepsi, I don't care. But some of you in here care. In fact, there is a targeted demographic in here that the CPGs, the food manufacturers, Coke, Pepsi, Nestle, these companies, they really care about it. So what does that have to do with the Kinect camera? Well, behind this digital signage, we do two things. We do a demographic profile, and we do facial recognition in loyalty and security scenarios. This is, please work. This is the engine that runs behind the software. If there's light on my face, I'm going to stare at this thing. Is it working? I can't see. Does it say Tim? Does it say I'm smiling? See, I could be totally miserable on the inside, but if I go like this, then it thinks I'm happy. So we're doing an emotional profile. We're doing a demographic profile. Now I got to look and see what it said. It should say, whoa, no, it's not working. No, it's not working. I could tell you that. Yeah. Hang on. Oh, we've got internet. Are you sure it was working? It should say, that's Tim. If this doesn't work, we're dead. I'm dead. I'm already dead. Yeah, it's no, it's not. I'm telling you, it's not working. And let me think why. Here, hang. It's always network, right? It's always network. Un momento. Yeah, we got internet. What is going on here? Yeah. Yeah. How can you get the house lights or put that spotlight like on my face? Because when this works, imagine a world. When this works, it'll do a facial recognition on me, and it'll say white male, you know, 50. Right, and then. Oh man, Ma. No. Más luz. Por favor. It's okay. Don't worry. This is actually production software. I'll just tell you what it does. How am I doing on time? I'll just tell you what it does. In that refrigerator. Right? It does a demographic profile. Female, Hispanic, 20 to 30. That is exactly the targeted demographic, by the way. That's the one they really care about. Oh, we have lights. We have lights. Is light on my face? We're now here. Let me step away from it. Step away from the camera. And now I'm coming back. Look at the legend in the top right. GSM, Claro Pair. What's that mean? Does that mean muerto? Ah, oh, darn it. So when this works, it does a demographic profile, and if it sees someone that Nestle cares about, it changes the content. Yeah. If it sees someone who's in a loyalty program, you know, they sign up at the grocery store to get coupons. It says, hey, Jose, you get a coupon today because you're one of our best customers. In casinos and in subways, this is all real stuff. I'm sorry my demo isn't working. But in casinos and subways and bus stations, one might speculate that world governments have contacted me to look for the bad guy. We can see that we can do a facial recognition. Stay with me here. We can do a facial recognition in 3 milliseconds with 100% accuracy to 250 million users in a sharded Azure database. That's in a perfect network scenario, right? Which doesn't exist. There's no such thing as a perfect network scenario, and I'm hung out to dry here because I can't get network for this thing to show you. So your questions are, so what's is that creepy? What's the bad news? So two things. We don't need a picture. Privacy law? We don't need the picture. What we're doing is the Kinect camera runs at 30 frames per second. We're taking a picture about every fifth frame, sending it up to Azure. It's decomposed into a physics mesh. It's all about math, right? We don't actually need the picture of the person. I just use it for the demo, right? That all happens like that. The weakness, what's the weakness? Light. This is an infrared camera. It doesn't work outside. And then distance. The Kinect only sees about 20 feet, the Kinect device. But remember Moore's law in the beginning and CPU cycles? This $150 camera that only sees 20 feet, in a year from now, it'll see 40 feet. And it'll see at 60 frames per second. And it'll be half the price. And this happens to be the best camera on the market right now, but that doesn't mean that things aren't going to change. There's competition is a great thing. All right? Sorry that demo didn't work. I was going to bring Jose up on the screen. I was going to have him on my iPhone. I was going to have him point my iPhone. It would do. We did a test, and it worked perfectly. I was going to have him point at me. It was going to say, I'm 99% sure that's Tim. I was going to point it at him, and it'll go, I don't know who the hell he is. And I was going to provision him live up to the cloud, and then he was going to walk in front of this, and it was going to say, Hispanic, male, 20 to 30. 20 to 30. I once did this demo for a lady, and it profiled her like 15 years older than she is. This is no, it's a true story in Brussels. In a huge audience, I picked, you know, someone right in front, and it was this middle-aged lady, and it said she was like 65, and she was about 40, and she was furious. So maybe it's good that the demo didn't work. Anyways, and then Jose was going to walk in front of it and was going to say, hey, that's Jose. Because we can provision like that, 250 million users, right? All right, let's move on to HoloLens, and we'll get me off the stage. And I believe Phil Hack is here, and I believe Phil is coming after me. All right, we did that. All right, y'all remember this? Y'all. If you're my age, you definitely remember this because this was like the movie. You know, this we formed our lives after this movie. Right? But remember, this was just this is a hologram, but it's basically a video. It was, you know, Obi-Wan Kenobi, you're my last hope, blah, 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 blah. Right? It was just a looping video. Imagine a world where you're interacting with a hologram and it's talking back to you. Imagine a world where you're talking to someone who has been deceased for over 100 years. Who's the most famous soccer player in Peruvian history that's no longer with us? Anyone? Anyone? Well, let's pick one of our presidents. Abraham Lincoln. Imagine talking to Abraham Lincoln in a hologram. That's happening. We're building one of these things. I can't tell you who it is, but it's a famous American baseball player who is deceased. And for the All-Star Game in baseball in July, which is in San Diego, we're building an interactive hologram to talk to someone who's dead and has been dead for 20 years. That's machine learning. That's Azure. That's this amazing device called the HoloLens. When Jorge reached out to me and he said, hey, Tim, this is going to be the year. We want you to come out to Peru. And we want you to bring a bunch of HoloLenses. And I said, this is like 9 months ago. And I said, yeah, love it. I'm going to bring a ton of HoloLenses and let all you guys, we'll give HoloLenses to everyone. Wouldn't that be awesome? Forget it. You don't get a HoloLens. I couldn't even get them through your customs, right? They give me enough grief just bringing the Kinect device over. Yeah, they're it's a beta device, and they're having trouble manufacturing them quick enough, and so we don't have them here, so I just have to talk about it. But this stuff is coming, and it's just .NET. Well, it's Unity, and it's C++, and it's some other stuff, too. But it's WPF, too. So here are four scenarios for holographic experiences. These are real. I don't know if you saw the Explore Mars thing at Build. But you can walk into a holographic, like, what was it on Star Trek? The holodeck. You could walk into the holodeck and be on Mars and just kind of move things around and play with it. Obviously, learning is a perfect scenario for this. Having a teacher, an enseñadora para mi español terrible, you know, having someone teach me that might be in Peru and I might be in California. Right, but I'm interacting with a hologram. Perfect use case. Here's the two things we're building at Internology right now. We're building on the left, that is the first prototype for CNN, the app I showed you earlier, in a holographic experience. So instead of touching the screen, you're living in the 3D model of the US. You're walking on top of California. You're moving delegates away from that Republican guy I don't like. I said his name once, didn't I? On the right is something a lot more interesting. I believe, and I want to live in a world that where we build software that helps people. This is my dream. Unfortunately, you know, I have to keep the lights on in the amazing company that I own, and we're building software for the company that's killing the world with their cheeseburgers. However, being that said, we do a lot of cancer research software, a lot of cancer research, brilliant people. This app on the right is the prototype of a holographic experience where you walk in to the hologram of a giant molecule and you build the molecule. The use case is the cancer scientist has an idea that they've profiled in math or on paper or in a model, and they now want to see it live. And they walk into the molecule and they construct it. And of course, it has to have all the business rules of chemistry so that they don't build, you know, something that explodes, right? So they build this experience live. This is for the, you know, one of the largest companies in the world that begins with an E and ends in Lilly. Fortune 50 company. That would be funny in the US, but it's not funny here. So the scientist goes in there and they model the molecule, test it. It's good. They've now created a molecule that doesn't exist in the world. And it's going to, you know, it's going to interfere with cancer. It's a protein that gloms onto the cancer cells and mutates it, effectively curing it, you know, that type of thing. And then they press a button in the holographic experience. And then we go to the IoT route. The machine that Eli Lilly has created actually creates the actual molecule. It comes out the other end like a 3D printer. It creates the actual molecule. It comes out in a gas or a liquid or a powder. And they have that cancer drug, that molecule. And they take it away, and then they go into a clinical trial. They create a drug, and cancer becomes a managed disease. Is that not freaking awesome? That's great stuff. That's the world I want to live in. Yeah. And the other world I want to live in, which Jennifer is going to show you in a session today, I believe it's today, is, remember I mentioned neural interfaces? Imagine a world where the quadriplegics and people with multiple sclerosis, there's millions of people around the world that have lost control of their physical bodies but are totally sound of mind, right? Wouldn't it be great to build software for these people? Wouldn't it be great to have your mind control your wheelchair because you can't use your hands, right? That we're very close to that world. All right, I'm up. I'm done with my time. We got to get Phil up here. I hope you enjoyed all this stuff. Obviously, I love to talk about it. I'm here today and tomorrow, and then I'm going to freaking Machu Picchu and the Sacred Valley. And Cusco, right? So, and I love Pisco, so maybe we'll see you tonight. But that's all I got. Phil's next. Thanks for coming.